If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of Luke 19 this morning and talk about a changed heart. In our passage this morning, we're going to look at how Jesus seeks out a rich man named Zacchaeus who was looking for something more in his life. And by the end of the day, Zacchaeus discovers what he was looking for. It was a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a byproduct of that life change, all the riches he had gained in the world became worthless compared to what he had found in Jesus. This morning, let's read from Luke 19. I want to start with the first four verses. Verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, if you remember, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We're soon going to be at the triumphal entry of Jesus. And so here he is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for the incredible word of God that you have preserved for your church. Lord, these writings inspired by the Holy Spirit, by Luke and Mark and John and Mark and Matthew and Paul and the other writers in the Old Testament, God, thank you for the Word of God. But Lord, let us not just move past this story of a man climbing a tree. Lord, would you give us insight today, not just to our minds, but to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For many of us here, the story of Zacchaeus could be relatively familiar. How many are familiar with the story of Zacchaeus? Yeah. Remember the little song, if you grew up in Sunday school or church or VBS maybe, Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was. He climbed a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. It goes on and on, right? It tells the story. In the song, we learn that Zacchaeus was a short little man who climbed up a tree wanting to see Jesus. Jesus shows up and says, Zacchaeus, come down from there, right? Remember, and I'm going to your house today or to stay. The little song does a pretty good job giving us the gist of the story. But this morning, as adults, I want us to go a bit further than just what the song tells us. I want us to really understand the significance of this story. Let's start here. Luke tells us Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, probably in the area there or surrounding Jericho. It told us again in verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. As a chief tax collector, he was in charge of overseeing other tax collectors. He was the chief of those tax collectors. And the way tax collection happened at that time was that the Roman government would come to the chief tax collector and tell them, this is the amount you're supposed to collect and give to the Roman government. And by the way, anything you collect above and beyond that, it's yours to keep. So the chief tax collector, who is Zacchaeus, was told that amount, I'm supposed to collect this from the region, and he in turn then would tell the other tax collectors what they are to collect. But while he's doing this, he's adding in some profit for himself. You see, that doesn't happen today. How many love April 15th? I'm not sure what day it ever falls on anymore. April 15th, 16th, and 17th. Aren't those your favorite holidays of the year? But at least the government says, this is what we want. We don't have that in-between person saying, I think you owe the government about, $2,000, and really you owe them $1,000, and they skim off $1,000. That's what would happen back in that day. So needless to say, tax collectors were not highly looked upon. People kind of viewed them basically as thieves. That's how they were looked at. So you can imagine Zacchaeus in that region, was in that community, was not looked upon as a great leader. But when the little short man would show up at your door, right, your blood would probably get a little hot because you're about to take my money, and that's the way people felt. He was probably a person that most people would see on the street. They would go to the other side. You know, just don't want to run into him. Probably the only friends that Zacchaeus had were probably the other tax collectors who were under him, and they were just a band of thieves working together. Luke tells us, though, Zacchaeus was wealthy. He had money. He had probably gotten his system set up so he was able to make money on every tax transaction that took place in that region. As you keep reading, we find out later that Zacchaeus owns a home, and in fact, that's where Jesus is going to go. Most of the time, the Bible does not give us a lot of physical descriptions about characters in the Bible, but at times it does, and this is one particular story where we're given a physical description. Luke wants to bring out a bit of information about Zacchaeus's physical appearance, and we find it in verse 3. He, speaking of Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was what? Short. He could not see over the crowd. The Bible goes on and says, so he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Because Zacchaeus was short, this becomes very relevant in this story. You see, it was a big deal, you have to understand, when visitors would come through your town. When people of notoriety showed up, people wanted to go out and see him. It happens today, it's called concerts. Not a whole lot has changed. Jesus, though, was someone they had heard about and had some notoriety, and his reputation was kind of out there that he was a great teacher, he worked miracles, and that day in Jericho, a crowd began to line up on the streets because he is passing through our town. The Bible tells us Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know who he was. So he's joining all the people on the roadside where Jesus is going to be walking by. But because of his physical height, he had a problem. His physical height being short. And by the way, short is not a bad trait. I thought I would get from all the short people an amen. But there are no short people in this place, or you don't recognize it. No, I think sometimes we can look at traits as being too tall, too short, too this, too that. And church, God made you, can I just tell you, God made you the way you are, and just learn to be content with it. Amen. You have to understand, as a boy who was born with cleft palate and had the problems I had growing up, I remember it took me to the age of 20 when I was actually sharing with a group of young people on a Wednesday evening that I said, I made this statement to them. I said, you know what? I am content with how God made me. And from that day up forward, because that came out of my mouth, I began to make it a practice in my heart. That, you know what, God made me. You know, he gave me the language, he gave me the southern upbringing with the twang speech, or whatever you want to call it, that southern draw, whatever that is. But you know what, that's where God put me. And if I begin to just try to change who I am, then I'm missing who God made me to be. So his physical height caused a problem, though, because he couldn't see over the crowd. But in his heart, he really wanted to know, I wanted to catch who Jesus was. Because of that low stature, possibly with the people too, because he was a tax collector, he probably had a problem getting through the crowd to get to the front of the street, because they're probably like, nope, you're short, and you just stay back there, buddy. You know, so I don't know what went on, but he had to come up with another plan. So I want to see Jesus. So he decides, I'm going to go further up the road. And when he gets there, he makes this decision. He's going to climb up in a tree along this route so he can see Jesus. And in this way, he'll definitely get to see him. Luke 19:4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, climbing a tree, especially I'm thinking for a tax collector, might have been considered a little undignified. It's certainly not something rich people tend to do. It's not something you tend to do. When was the last time you climbed a tree? Most of us have gotten wise enough to not do that, except for you. But it was in that tree that day that Zacchaeus has the encounter of a lifetime. Listen to verse 5 and 6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. As Jesus approached that tree, I can imagine Zacchaeus' heart kind of beating faster. I finally, here he is, there he comes. But something unique happened. When Jesus got to the spot, he stopped right there in front of Zacchaeus and looked up and told Zacchaeus, "Get down, I'm going to your house." And you got to kind of imagine, Jesus is probably shaking hands, high-fiving, whatever they did back in that day, fist pumping, you know, that's probably where it started. And whatever is happening, and somehow, you've got to get this, Jesus, most people were not looking up. But Jesus knew Zacchaeus was there that day. And we're going to see that. Zacchaeus, and he stops and says, "Hey, I'm going to your house." Now, imagine for a moment now the shock of Zacchaeus when he hears those words. "I just want to know who you are. Now I'm going to really get to know who you are. You're coming to my house?" So that was one thing going on in Zacchaeus, but there was something else going on among the people. All of a sudden, the people began to murmur as they heard what Jesus said. You need to remember, people didn't like Zacchaeus. They didn't like the tax collectors. They didn't understand, why is Zacchaeus getting such an honor? Jesus, in fact, listen to verse 7 of 19. All the people, how many? You think Luke is accurate? Let me go back to the very first verse to write a more accurate story. So he's there watching all this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is gone to be the guest of a sinner." Luke tells us the crowds were kind of recounting Zacchaeus' reputation to each other. And they were concerned about the idea that Jesus is going to go to the house of a sinner. In verse 8, though, we are told that Zacchaeus had a change of heart. At some point while at Zacchaeus' house, something transpires that transforms the heart of Zacchaeus. That's why Jesus went to his house. Listen to verse 8. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor.'" I want you to catch it. Was it, "I'm going to do it someday. Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, we don't know exactly how much time passes between verse 7 and verse 8. But I suspect Zacchaeus' change of heart probably came after spending some time with Jesus. In my mind, while Jesus was at his house, I can imagine Jesus is telling him, "This is why I came. This is why I'm here." And not only Zacchaeus heard it, but the others in the house heard it. But whatever Zacchaeus heard from Jesus or felt or experienced that day, the conclusion was this. Zacchaeus stood up and declared, "I need to make things right." Zacchaeus said, "Listen, I'm giving half of my possessions to the poor. And then on top of that, with the half I have left, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times what I cheated them." Now, in the Old Testament, we are given a law, actually, if you cheated somebody, it actually gives a percentage that if you cheated them, you need to pay them back 20%. So if you cheated somebody out $100, you're going to give them back $120 because you cheated them. But that's not what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus gives them four times. If it was $100, I'm going to give you $400. What he did was what he thought was right. It was a radical change of heart, and he makes a radical declaration. And Jesus, of course, I believe what Zacchaeus said because it was here and now. It wasn't about, well, this is what I'm going to do when you get to Jerusalem. By the way, he did it now. And listen to what Jesus declares in verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." What Jesus was really saying, listen, I want it to be clear, Zacchaeus is a true believer. He believes in God and why I've come. Jesus wasn't saying that Zacchaeus earned this by his actions. In fact, his actions followed what his heart was doing. And so now his heart is demonstrating by faith what he believed in. This morning, I want to talk to you for a moment about some lessons we can take away from this. I have four lessons, and I have three applications. I just want you to know it's such a familiar story. If we're not careful, we can kind of gloss over it and just say, well, that's Zacchaeus and the wee little man. But let me talk to you about four lessons we could start with. Number one is, we learn that we will never be satisfied by the things of the world. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He seemed to have it all. He was wealthy. He had chosen to become a tax collector and had become very good at it. But inside Zacchaeus' heart, he knew that having money wasn't enough. Zacchaeus knew his life was empty. He wanted to meet the man who could transform lives and hearts. Now, I want to take you back for a moment. Unlike the rich young ruler, if you remember a few weeks ago, who Jesus said, give your wealth to the poor. And he walks away sad. But not Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus' story, because of this new change of heart, he learns that I don't need the money. I have everything I need. We need to learn that we will never be satisfied by the things of the world. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy your heart, your soul, your mind, your life. Secondly, we learn that no one is too far gone for God to restore them and make them new. Got to go back to the scriptures. Remember how the people were responding when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house? They couldn't believe it. All they could think about was Zacchaeus, the sinner. The people could only view Zacchaeus as a lost cause. But Jesus believed more. Jesus wasn't concerned about his past. He was looking at his potential. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus' heart was ready to hear the truth, and Zacchaeus was ready to change. Church, we need to learn that no one is too far gone for God to restore them and make them new. Amen? A third thing, we learn that Jesus is seeking us. Jesus came into Jericho with the intention of having a meal with Zacchaeus. You go, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that Jesus would always did and said what the Father told him to do. I think, church, we can live in a place where we can begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and actually respond to what the Father has planned for the day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What's the it? Whatever the Lord planned. Jesus comes to Jericho with this intention. He stops at the tree where Zacchaeus is and says, I must stay at your house. I want you to see that in this story, it's Jesus who always takes the first step to show up where we are. See, it was Jesus who was going to Jericho. The people heard about it. They only responded to where Jesus was going. He is the one who does all the work. We just respond to it. In fact, it is really God who orchestrated this very day. Church, you just came here and climbed into the pews of Northfield Christian because you came to see Jesus. But Jesus really had his mind set on you today. And just maybe he's going to stop where you are today and come into your house, your heart, and change you. You have to know that Jesus is always seeking us. He wants to know us more. A fourth thing, we learned that a true encounter with Jesus brings a change in the way we live. Within a single day, Zacchaeus' heart had changed, and now he has a brand new first love. No longer was money the most important thing in his life, but Jesus becomes his focus. As a result, Zacchaeus does something incredibly crazy, something out of the norm. He gives away half of his wealth to the poor. He also decides to repay everybody that fourfold money, whatever he has stolen. And the people around Zacchaeus would have known something. Something drastically has happened to him because his heart is changed. So we learn that a true encounter with Jesus brings a change in the way we live. Four lessons. But I want to give you three things that we need to do. First thing we need to do is examine what is most important in your life. Zacchaeus had bought into the cultural idea that if you've got enough money, you'll be happy. But once he had the money, he discovered that it did not deliver what it promised. Maybe you're doing the same thing. It might be money, maybe it's power, maybe it's success. But somewhere we've got to be honest with ourselves and examine what is the most important thing in your life. The most important. And if your most important concern in life is something other than knowing Jesus, I want you to know you will eventually find yourself empty. Church, Jesus is the only answer to every desire of your heart and your life. He is the only one who can satisfy your longing. And so today, we've got to examine ourselves and get our priorities right. What is most important to you? A second thing we need to do is look for people God is working on. I don't know how many really knew Zacchaeus was up in the tree, but Jesus noticed him that day. We need to look for people in our world with the eyes of Jesus Christ. Do not write off anyone. Watch. Begin to listen for people who are showing an interest in the things of God. Let me tell you a story that happened this week. We were doing the Fajola Project, and Pastor Chuck and I had gone to Jackson Home Depot, ordered the supplies we would need, and they were to be delivered on the Thursday. So when we arrived Friday morning, it would all be there. Well, we arrived Friday morning, and we looked at what had been delivered, and unfortunately, some of it was missing. The flooring, some quarter round, and maybe lights. There was just things that were missing, and so we're like, okay. So we're thinking through it and working through it, and so I'm like, okay, I'll go, and I've got to get what we got to get because we had to get paint anyway and all of that. So I'm like, I'll go. So I went. Actually, Scott Craig went with me, and we're in the store. Me and Scott split, and he went shopping, picking up stuff, and I went to the pro desk. You know, I'm like, I need help. And I was at the help, and they're like, we don't know what happened. Let's get a truck deliverer guy. So Jared comes over, and Jared's, you know, here, I can help you. And he said, my wife actually works at the service desk. That's where we need to go. So he takes me over to his wife, and we start working through it. And you have to know my demeanor on this stuff, and I just have learned if it doesn't have to do with eternity, it doesn't matter a whole lot. Okay? It's just stuff. Listen, if your stuff didn't get delivered, you got to deal with it anyway. So just deal with it with the peace of God. So I'm at the desk and just walking through it. And by the way, what we had ordered, which I find very interesting because maybe you'll tie the whole story in a moment. But we ordered some flooring, and the flooring we ordered, because they were so confused because they're like, he put it in like it was in the store, but it was never in the store. It was some special order. And so our flooring didn't arrive, and we ended up changing the flooring anyway. But so God took care of that. But they're like, man, this is so confusing and all this. And they're having to work through their problems, not just mine. But I'm just standing there. And somewhere near the end, not quite at the end, but the lady who was serving, I just saw her demeanor just drop. And she looked at me and just said, thank you for being so kind. And she was saying, not everybody's that kind. I hope it's not you. If you are, go to a new Home Depot. Anyway, so I'm helping her. Now I got to go get the paint. So I walk over to the paint place, and I walked up with pre-apology because I got 7 gallons that need to be done. So I walk up and go, I'm pre-apologizing, but I got 7 that you've got to mix. And so I start putting them in, and she was nice, and she said, but I'm just temporary. I'm actually just filling in for about 5 minutes. And she's, but I know what to do. So she starts the process. And we're just kind of chit-chatting. And then the other person shows up, and she went on her way. I just said, thank you so much. And I finished getting my paint with the other person. We had great conversation. Well, then I have to go do some more shopping after my paint gets done. And I'm in the store, I'm in my aisle, I'm just looking at what I'm looking at, and I hear right behind me the word Max Lucado. He is a Christian book writer. That was my cue to enter that conversation. But when I turned around, it was the young lady who had started serving the paint with me. And she's there, and another worker in the store, and they're talking about this Max Lucado book, and like I said, it was my cue. I entered the conversation. And I'm talking with her, and anyway, we ended up being able to pray right there in the store in that moment, and God moved in a mighty way. Church, we've got to begin to look for people that God is working on. And listen, when I was done, I prayed, I did my part. I'm not her pastor. I went back to shopping. I think so many times we turn our lives to be so spiritual all the time, and they should be spiritual all the time, but you just step in where God is working. Keep your ears open. I am so glad that Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was going to be there. He could have gotten so focused on the crowd. The crowd that's there, and the admiration, and oh my goodness, yes, but that was never his heart. In fact, you're going to hear a verse in a moment that Jesus, a verse you're very familiar with because of why Jesus came. But let me go to a third point as I get there. The third point I think we need to do is recognize the good news that God is seeking you. The great news about the story of Zacchaeus is that God does not expect us to save ourselves. I want you to hear what Jesus said, famous verse, this is where it's found. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Pastor James, would you come? God knows it. None of us are going to come to him and follow him on our own. It's just not our nature. So with joy, you got to understand God orchestrates events in our lives so we'll come to a point where we can meet him and make a decision to follow him. Maybe you're in the same boat as Zacchaeus today. Maybe you were in that boat at one point. I want to know who Jesus is, but it's God who showed up at the right place with the right person at the right time. A lot of people, if you haven't gotten a clue, they don't walk into church on Sunday morning. Some do, but most people come because of invitation. Most come because they have a friend who cares about them. Maybe you've come to church because you've seen that you need more in your life, and that there's got to be more about life than what's going on in the world. And just maybe God's been preparing you for this day. And you realize, you know, maybe some of you are really lost in your sin. The question is, are you really being honest with yourself? Yet you've been playing the church game, and I do. It's not about going to church. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And everything you might be trying to do to fill your life, you only come up empty. I want you to know Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. I think so many times it was like Jesus saves, but Jesus seeks. Jesus seeks. And through His Holy Spirit, He talks to us and walks with us. And we just need to go, Lord, what are You saying? What He's saying is, today You need to make me, Jesus, first place in your life. He wants to begin that relationship with you. And God has set up this opportunity, this day, for that to happen in you. Do not let it pass by. The story of Zacchaeus is not just a story about some guy who lived during the time of Jesus. It's recorded because it just might be your story. You could be the one that Jesus enters your life and changes your heart forever. I don't want you just to sing a song about Zacchaeus. I want you to follow His example. Look for the one who has been looking for you. Invite Him to be Lord of your life. And if you do that, then like Zacchaeus, you're going to find that your life will never be empty again. So I want to invite you to meet Jesus right now so you can have a changed heart. This morning, I don't know what you as a church hear when the Holy Spirit is speaking to so many of you. I know in the first service, and I'm about to give a call to accept Jesus, and we had some in the first service who needed to surrender. And others came to me afterwards, it's just how God was speaking to them. But some of you may need to recognize that you need to start seeking and looking for what God's doing. Don't write people off and go, well, they're a sinner. They're messed up. I don't know if we'll ever really capture the heart of the Father like we should unless we have the eyes of the Spirit that really says people matter. That day, I really, if I had anything to be upset about in the story, is the people who were so lost themselves that they could always see Zacchaeus' past. He's a sinner. And I can't believe Jesus would want to hang out with a sinner. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. In fact, He died for you while you were still in your sin. And that's why He came, to seek and to save you. Would you bow your heads for a moment? If that's you today and you believe Jesus died on the cross, He rose again, and you want to make Him Lord and master of your heart and mind and thinking, and yet you've maybe played the game. I don't know what you've done. Maybe you've never even made that decision. But today, He is seeking you. You hear the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, going, boy, you need to respond. You need to come out of the tree. You need to walk with Me. You need to spend time. I showed up, and you're here, and I recognize you. He's just waiting for you to respond. If that's you today, balcony or main floor, would you slip your hand up and you put it right back down? I just want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. And we're going to believe together by faith what God can do. Is there anyone? I'm just glancing around. Yes, sir. Anybody else? I just don't want to miss anybody. Yes. Anybody else? Just three more seconds. Yes, ma'am. Yes. That's what it's about. Would you pray with me this morning? Simply a simple, simple prayer, but pray it by faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe by faith that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for me. I believe he rose again. And I accept your forgiveness by faith. Be Lord of my life. I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for showing yourself real today. And Lord, for these who made that decision, I pray over them, Lord, that you would begin to speak daily to their lives. And Lord, that they can draw closer to you. Watch over, Lord, help us to disciple them and grow them in the love that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, to you, I don't know what to tell you other than you need to evaluate, examine your life. Make sure Jesus is first. Make sure you're looking for people and enter in. Don't be afraid of the conversations. Here's how I enter conversations. And this is probably the one I probably shouldn't, but I do. I hear somebody say, oh my God. And I'm like, really? I know him. And they go, what are you? I just heard you say, oh my God, I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior. Church, you've got to just find those places. All I am is a sower. You think, well, he's got it down right. I don't. I miss opportunities too. But I'm trying to keep my ears and my eyes open so I can see those and step into those moments, even if it's just to be a sower. But some reap. Some get the harvest. Just maybe you're the harvester for that day. Don't miss the opportunities, church. It's not about attending church. It's about being the church. So I want you to step out of this place. You're about to go into a mission field that is so large and so lost. But Jesus came to seek them and find them and save them. But he called you to be his representative. You're his ambassador. And church, together. And listen, if you're a little fearful and you don't know how to enter those conversations, you can start with, excuse me, did I hear that? And be kind. But church, I'm telling you, we've got to enter the conversations of people in the world. If we're waiting for them to come to us, it'll never happen. That's why Jesus stepped into Jericho. Oh, he was passing through. We're going to find out because he's going all the way to the cross for the whole world. But he stops for a moment to deal with a little short man who needed him that day. So church, let's be the church, bringing people to Jesus and equipping them to be like him. That's our mission. Amen. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. I'm going to dismiss you. And you're going to step out and you're going to be the ambassador you've been called to be. Heavenly Father, thank you for the body of believers you have placed here. But Lord, I pray for an anointing upon their lives. Lord, I pray for fresh eyes and fresh ears where they work and where they live and where they walk and where they shop. God, I pray that they would begin to hear where you are and what you're doing. Lord, help us not miss that because you didn't come just for those who would respond. You are seeking every lost soul, every sinner, not because of their past, but because of their future, because of their potential, and they come to saving knowledge of you. Lord, use us, I pray. And Lord, help us to keep you first in everything we do. To you be the glory, the praise, and the honor. We bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.